Welcome to the Capital Connection, a weekly program questioning New York State leaders on a variety of issues. Your host is Dr. Alan Chartok, political scientist and professor emeritus at the University at Albany. Distribution for the Capital Connection is made possible with the help of New York State United Teachers, representing professionals in education and healthcare, online at nysut.org.
The Capital Connection. Hi, I'm Alan Chartok. This week, it's columnist and Albany bureau chief of the New York Daily News, Ken Lovett. Well, Ken, you had a near-death experience this week.
Yeah, it was a tough week. We had major layoffs at the Daily News. A lot of good people were let go, and so kind of a numbing week, to be honest with you.
What do you see this as in terms of political awareness? I know it's a conceptual question, but, you know, if you had an able associate who worked with you and he was let go, so that's one less person covering Albany politics.
It is. Glenn Blaine, and he was very good at doing it. And we lost him. We lost our political editor, Dari Gregorian. I think it's a blow to local journalism. You know, we lost a City Hall reporter and Aaron Durkin. We lost a lot of good people who did a lot of good work. And you know, you hope you can move forward with it, but it's going to be difficult.
And so you cover state politics better than anybody I know, and we've said that again and again. You're considered to be the guru about all of this. So I was delighted to think that the Daily News thought enough of state politics that you made the cut.
Yeah, I don't know the rhyme or reason, but yeah, I'm still standing, I guess. You feel, I guess, relieved about that. But again, it was really a numbing day to see 50% of the editorial staff, you know, let go like that. And it was already a thin staff as it was. So it was something I had not gone through in my professional career, but it's something I know a lot of people have gone through. Other journalists at other publications. So it's just the sign of the times.
Will they be able to find jobs, you think?
I hope so, because there's a lot of good talent out there. And really, at a time when newspapers in particular are struggling, you need good journalists out there, given what's going on, both nationally and state and local. You need people watching the hen house, so to speak.
Well, you know, you and I have spoken about Governor Cuomo many, many times. This has not been a particularly good year for the governor. You had the conviction of Joe Prococo, the so-called third brother, who he bragged about in Mario Cuomo's eulogy. You had Todd Howe, another former associate of his, in trouble. Then you had the conviction of Elaine Calieros, who was his guy in charge basically of the Buffalo Billions, being convicted. And yet, when the polls come out, there he is. There's the governor standing tall. This is the same governor, I may say, who came into Albany on a white charger saying he was going to clean up corruption here.
Yeah, and he's getting hit from the left and the right. He's getting hit by Cynthia Nixon on the left, who's challenging him in the September 13th primary. He's getting hit from the right by Mark Molinaro, the Republican gubernatorial candidate, and the Republicans in general. And he's at war with the Senate Republicans. The progressives don't trust him. And he didn't have that particularly an impressive legislative session. But like you said, the polls show him far ahead. Now, there is a caveat. We have not seen a poll yet of likely primary voters. So while he holds a big lead against Nixon, according to the polls, we haven't seen those who might show up more likely to show up in the primary. So that would be nice to know. And the last poll that had him up by, I think it was 36 points, Quinnipiac, they didn't even look at likely general voters. They looked at registered voters. And we all know that in a primary, you're lucky to get 12% these days who come out and vote. So the polls, yes, he's got a big lead, but, and we saw what happened with Joe Crowley down in Queens, who was a longtime congressman, powerful, went up against a nobody, and the nobody, the progressive, a Democratic socialist, Ocasio-Cortez, she won. And Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, she won. And you know what? Crowley had the same polling firm as Cuomo, Global Strategies. So the one thing we're noticing this year is it is such a weird year. People are fired up, particularly on the left. And there are a lot of people who may have never voted before who are fired up and ready to come out. And the polls may not pick that up as easily. And that's one concern if I'm Cuomo. I think he's comfortable and I do think he's leading. But, you know, will the polls pick up if there is a progressive surge? Will the polls be quick to pick it up or will we have another surprise come September?
So it is an eternal truth in New York politics that it takes Labor Day before people get interested in all of this stuff. And yet it seems to me, in my analysis of what's going on, people don't know much about state government, but they do know the Cuomo name. And Mario Cuomo is somewhat of a saint. And to me, that carries his child.
It does. And also, first of all, Cynthia Nixon doesn't have a lot of money. She hasn't raised a lot, and she's raised, I think, $1.6 million so far since getting in the race in March. She's going up a guy with $31.1 million in the bank and who is all over the air. And Nixon also, you know, she is a progressive who says she's a socialist, and I'm not sure how well that'll play upstate. I'm not sure how well that'll play in the suburbs. So I do think Cuomo has a comfortable lead. I think it's his to lose. But would I be shocked given the uncertainty and the anger out there right now? No, I wouldn't be shocked if he lost, but it is his to lose at this point.
So it is interesting to me that he is, the question for me is he worried? Is Andrew Cuomo worried because of everything you say about Crowley? And it seems to me they're already running ads. They're already running around the place. He's been in Puerto Rico 6 times, I think.
Five times, right.
You know, he's not leaving anything to chance right now.
No, and so then the question is he worried or is he just making sure? And at the very least, he is not taking it for granted. He's not taking it lightly. I don't think he took Zephyr Teach out 4 years ago. I do think he took her lightly in the Democratic primary. She performed better than anyone thought she would, considering no one knew who she was and she had no money. So, you know, people know Cynthia Nixon. She's an actress. She's been an activist. So I do think he's taking it seriously. Is he worried? Probably a little bit, but I think they feel it's theirs to lose, but they're not going to take any chances. So he is up on the air all the time, apparently, and he is out and about, and he's doing all the things you would need to do.
Ken Levitt, let's talk a little bit about the Working Families Party. Here is this minor third party who has put above the objections of organized labor, who give a lot of money to the Working Families Party, has put their candidate as Cynthia Nixon. Now, I've heard, and I'm sure you have too, from Bill Lipton and others, that they would kick Cynthia Nixon off the ballot if, in fact, she loses the primary. Can they do that?
Yeah, what they have done is there's an assemblywoman, a longtime assemblywoman in Manhattan named Deborah Glick. And she's, you know, an incumbent. No one thinks she's in jeopardy. So what they have done is, the Working Families Party, is they nominated a placeholder for their line in that assembly race, with the thinking being, if Nixon loses the primary, then if she agrees to get off the line, which is no guarantee because Crowley didn't give up the line after he lost to Ocasio-Cortez.
I was going to ask you about that.
So, but the thinking is that she's not going to want to run if she loses a Democratic primary. So they throw her on this assembly line. She'll throw her support to Glick. She has said if that happens, she won't campaign hard or campaign at all for the line. So that gets her off the line. And then the question is, do you give it to Cuomo? Because on the one hand, the Working Families Party needs 50,000 votes minimum to stay, to guarantee that they would have a spot on the ballot for the next 4 years.
And that has to, those 50,000 have to be in the gubernatorial
race. It has to be in the gubernatorial race. But they've been at such war with Cuomo. Would their members agree to do this? Would Cuomo accept it? You know, no one has really said either way on either side. So, you know, that's something to watch should Cuomo win on September 13th.
Okay. So let's move on. You had an exclusive in the paper, not uncommon for you. Dozens of people of locked up sex offenders among those groups granted conditional pardons by Governor Cuomo so they can vote. Is he assuming that they'll vote for him?
That's what the Republicans say. But basically, he issued a blanket order a couple of months ago saying that they were going to offer conditional pardons to anyone out on parole. And the first round, I think, was 24,000. And it included Herman Bell, who was convicted of killing a cop. It included some other notorious people. And what I wrote this past Monday was that on the list are 77 people who were serious sex offenders who were convicted. They served out their time in prison, but they were dubbed still too dangerous to go back into society. So they were kept locked up after prison in a psychiatric hospital. And it's a process known as civil confinement, that even though they've done their time, they still are, you know, deemed to pose a risk, a serious risk to others. So 77 names on the list happen to be people who are civilly confined. Right. And, you know, the Republicans are certainly making hay of it, saying that it's a horrible policy. The Democrats, Cuomo in particular, his people say that, you know, 16 other states, 14 states, once you're out of prison, they restore your rights automatically. And two states, they don't take away your right to vote at all, even if you go to prison. So they argue they're just doing what 16 other states do.
Let me go somewhere else. The attorney general's race here. Could you parse that one for us? Who's going to be the Democratic candidate?
That is a good question. There's four people. There is Tish James. She's the city public advocate. She's a darling of the left, too, by the way. The Working Families Party was she was the first candidate, I think, to win with just the Working Families Party line. She is the Democratic choice. She went to the convention. She got 85% of the vote, guaranteed her a spot on the ballot. She's Cuomo's choice. She's African-American. She would be the first African-American elected to the attorney general's office. So you have her, and she's got Cuomo's backing. Then you have Sean.
Well, let me stop you right there. Yeah. Isn't it somewhat risky, considering Cuomo's somewhat risky background here, based on the fact that he's been surrounded by, well, I don't know what to say, except crooks. And now you're going to have an attorney general who would be the person who would have to call him up short if something else happened. And the people of New York should vote for the person who would be attorney general who has been endorsed by Cuomo?
That's the argument of her three challengers, that they would be independent, which, you know, is a shot at her that she won't be. She claims she can be independent, James does, and that she will follow, you know, wherever any leads take her. So she says that's not an issue, but, you know, we're going to see. She's certainly the favorite. She's the best known in New York City because she is a citywide public official. And so that does help her. You've got Sean Patrick Maloney, a Hudson Valley congressman.
Now, that's a very interesting story right there. Go ahead.
Yeah, Sean Patrick Maloney is actually right now running for two offices. He was already nominated for his second term, or I shouldn't say for a second term, but for re-election to Congress. But now he's also running for attorney general. And there are those who say that's illegal, that the state law says you can't run for two offices at the same time. And there is a lawsuit that has been filed to try and stop it. Maloney's argument is you cannot be nominated to two offices at the same time. And so if he does win the Democratic primary for attorney general, he will then decline the congressional race. Now, what's interesting is a lot of Democrats are mad at Maloney because he lives in a swing district.
That's right.
And they feel that he's putting his own political future in front of the needs of the party, because obviously the Democrats want to take back control of the House. And this was one seat they didn't think they'd have to fight for. And if he goes, if it's an open seat, then yes, they will have to fight for it.
So Maloney hangs in there and says, nonsense, I already had the line for Congress, so I'm not really running for two things after all. But I think the people who are criticizing him and saying it could cost a very important seat, maybe crucial seat, if we lose this one.
Absolutely. And on top of that, if he loses the Democratic primary for attorney general, you've just given his Republican opponent for Congress a great issue that he doesn't. This is his booby prize. This is his second prize, that he didn't want this job. He wanted to be attorney general, and he lost that race. So now he's
in a marginal district.
Yeah. So I think, you know, a lot of Democrats are unhappy with him right now.
Ken Lovett, let me go to another place. the question of speed cameras outside of schools. This would have needed to be re-upped. The Republicans in the state Senate, if I understand this correctly, haven't stepped forward to do that.
No, the Assembly passed different versions of it before they left in the end of June, and the Senate refused to because they're in bed, for lack of a better word, with a Brooklyn Democrat, Simcha Felder, a senator who has actually caucused with the Republicans. He gives them the 32nd vote that they can keep the majority. So they're trying to keep him happy. And Felder doesn't want to sign off on legislation to extend the law that expired on Wednesday.
How come?
Because he wants to tie it to his big issue is he wants to have armed police in the schools, in every school. And the Democrats will not go for that. Felder then has used his power and influence to block the speed camera legislation. And so right now, as of Wednesday, there's, 120, I think, cameras went dark.
Well, God forbid one of Felder's kids in his district, as I say, God forbid, is hit by a car and he has to say, oh, well, I was the guy who stopped the cameras.
Absolutely. And it's interesting because the Republican leadership chose Felder, a Democrat, over one of their own, Marty Golden from Brooklyn, because Golden is taking a lot of heat from the Democrats in his district for the Republicans blocking this legislation. So Golden's been all over the map. First, he said, well, we have other legislation to add more stop signs and red lights. And then he said, well, we should come back and do this. And then he put it on the governor. The governor should call a special session and bring us back. And Cuomo said, the bills have already passed the Assembly. Have your leader come and just pass the bills.
Let's go to the 19th district, which is very big up here. This is Ulster County and Columbia County and a lot of other counties. And it's John Faso, a darling of the Republican Party, and the incumbent who is facing someone else, Mr. Delgado. Want to tell us what's going on there?
Yeah, that race is getting ugly quick. The Republicans have...
And for good reason, because it may be the control of the Congress.
Absolutely. And Faso is considered one of three or four vulnerable seats in New York. And so, and probably the most vulnerable, or if not the most, the second most. And they've dug up an old rap CD that Antonio Delgado made back in the day that used a lot of words that are not smiled upon, and so Faso has tried to make that an issue, or his supporters have tried to make that an issue. And Delgado is a Rhodes Scholar; he's a very smart guy. And
Harvard,
and they're saying that he believes that this is racist, that they're pointing all this stuff out. But Faso says, "Can you imagine if I use those words? What would happen to me?" And so that's been a big fight. But that's going to be a really interesting race to watch, and it's a key race to watch.
And it seems to me that what this is all about is how many Democrats who ordinarily would not get up off their yes, yes, yeses and vote are now going to be motivated to vote in that election.
And look, people don't know Delgado as much, so he's got to really get out there. Faso has been around a long time. He's run for statewide office twice. He lost, but he was an assemblyman, and a longtime assemblyman, and once was the assembly minority leader, and now he's been a congressman. So he is known in the district, and Delgado has to get out there and really work it. And you're right. How much of the anger on the Democratic side is going to translate to votes? And that's what we don't know at this point. And that's what the polls may not pick up at this point, because we just don't know.
Right, you are. And now let's go to Gillibrand. This is sort of interesting, Senator Gillibrand. A lot of people have assumed for a long time that when Andrew Cuomo wins his third term, if he does, he'll start to set himself up to run for president. And yet, I go long in the mouth here, but we have seen that when the race is being parsed right now, the name that does not come up is Andrew Cuomo's.
He's at best a second-tier candidate right now, but certainly Gillibrand is among those that are mentioned, especially from New York. But she's someone who has worked the national media. She's worked national issues. And the Republicans are taking notice. They're trying to attack her now. And and say that she's not what she claims to be, that she's evolved and not out of philosophy but out of political necessity. And, you know, once she was a Blue Dog Democrat, meaning she was a more conservative Democrat, when she was a congresswoman representing the Hudson Valley, the Hudson Valley, and now she's a liberal progressive, and her issues, her stances on a lot of issues have evolved, they say.
Yeah. Well, Andrew Cuomo is not a guy who likes competition.
Right.
Now, we know with Del Blasio, we know with De Blasio, it has gotten really ugly between the mayor and the governor. Good mayor of New York, but he would have a tough time attacking Gillibrand. After all, she's a woman.
That would be a real issue. I'm of the mind. I wouldn't be shocked if he does, but I don't think he's running for president. I think he likes it out there. I think it helps him, but I just don't think he's running for president. And in that regard, you know, we haven't seen him really take any steps nationally, even behind the scenes, to do that. And, you know, we're getting up there.
Well, he's traveled to Israel. He's traveled to Puerto Rico.
But that's more for New York.
Well, it could be. It could be. But is it your assessment as a seasoned political reporter that Gillibrand really has a shot here?
You don't know. I mean, there's no front runner right now. So you don't know. Now, will they want another New Yorker? I don't know. But she is a woman, which could help, or, you know, in terms of the Democratic primary. She's on. She's been ahead of things like the sexual harassment, the Me Too stuff. But I don't know how serious it is yet. I think it's so early at this point, but certainly she wants it, even though she protests and says, no, I'm focused on doing my job. But the belief is she wants it, and she is definitely one of those being mentioned.
Well, the wonderful controller of New York State, Tom DiNapoli, he had some of his real important powers taken away for pre-auditing certain projects by the governor. I got that part. Governors never liked him. But also by the legislature from which he came. I never quite understood that.
Well, the governor browbeat them into that, and it wasn't their fight, so to speak. And so they took that away back, I think, first or second year.
But they should put it back now. Because all of these people around the governor who ripped off the system, his people, and he won't do it. He won't give them back that auditing power.
And the Republican-led Senate passed legislation to do just that, and it died in the Democrat-controlled Assembly. And that's because Cuomo put a lot of pressure on them, though he denies it. But he put a lot of pressure. He did not want that passed, and they didn't want to go to war on the issue over it.
When Cuomo says jump, boss, Hasty jumps the Speaker of the Assembly.
Particularly on that issue, they just didn't care enough.
As New York stumbles its way forward, one can only think that this is going to be a very interesting year.
I think it's going to be an extremely interesting year. We're going to see if the governor wins. We're going to see how much. He is not where the party is right now. And so even if he wins, you know, right now he seems uncomfortable in terms of he's portraying himself as a real lefty. And that's not where he's comfortable. He's, you know, a lot of people love to compare him to his father and they say, oh, the politics. His real political father is Bill Clinton. And Bill Clinton was a centrist. He was someone who liked to triangulate and work with the Republicans and for the governor, it worked for a lot of years. And that was his message, that unlike Congress and the president, I'm able to work with a split legislature and get things done. And to his credit, he did get things done. But the party has moved a lot further to the left now. And while he's playing the role, I'm not sure he's so comfortable with it.
Our guest has been columnist and Albany bureau chief for the New York Daily News, Ken Lovett. Again, Ken, thank you.
Thank you. Be well.
The Capital Connection is distributed with the cooperation of the public radio stations of New York State. David Gustina is the producer of The Capital Connection, a production of WAMC Northeast Public Radio in Albany. Support for The Capital Connection comes from New York State United Teachers, representing professionals in education and healthcare, online at nysut.org.